Here we go. My name is Michelle Simpson, and I would like to welcome you to Black Talk. Some of you I'm welcoming back, which is wonderful. And if you're just joining us for the first time, again, we are happy to have you with us. Black Talk is the result of a collaboration between the NAACP Boulder County and KGNU. We are a program that centers Black voices, Black thought, and Black vision. And today, we're getting artsy, people. We're getting artsy. We're going to be talking about the arts. More specifically, we're going to talk to the artist whose name I continue to hear on the tips of many Boulder County art aficionados' tongues. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about Adderley Grant Lord. Adderley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
No, absolutely.
This is a treat.
No, for us as well. So listen, got a question for you to start our conversation.
Okay.
I've heard you describe yourself on more than one occasion as an island girl. So what makes you an island girl? What makes you an island girl?
Oh gosh, what, besides the fact that I was born in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, everything, my food, my heritage, my parents, just everything. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could say that anything before I am island girl. I remember the bare feet, the calypso, the regular, the carnival, all is in me. Yeah. And I left the island when I was like 13 mm-hmm. to go to Princeton, New Jersey, but I have not forget any of it. I've not forgotten one bit of it because it grounded me. It grounded in me in a way that it gives me power mm-hmm. because my parents and family, neighbors. I was loved as a child.
Yeah.
Can I say that? And it's kind of hard to forget the place that give you that much love.
No, absolutely. So, held you.
Yeah.
Held you.
Yeah.
Now, so Adderley, one of the things, and I know several, but one of the things I know about you is that you attended both FIT, the Fashion Institute of Technology, in New York City, and you also attended the Art Institute of Pittsburgh. So I'm guessing that you knew you were an artist before attending either one of those institutions. Am I right?
Yep. I knew I was an artist sophomore in high school.
Okay.
When one of my art teacher, she said, there is something about you in my art class that I love to see. It's almost like you sit with a glow when you paint mm-hmm. and something peaceful come over you. So she gave me the key to the art studio and she said, whenever I want to use it, I could go and use it. She
said, just come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the fact that she trusts me with all the art supply, all the kids' art and everything, I felt in power. And then she recommended me to go to a summer art school mm-hmm. at Rutgers University. Right. I did not actually get in because back then we work after school mm-hmm. and it wasn't one of the primary thing. I was just getting into it. And I think part of it was fear too, of mm-hmm. going away for the first time because I was still young.
Yeah.
And I worked during the summer. So I was like, I didn't end up going. But one of the things that I did the following semester, the following school year, was that I enrolled in community college as and I took art as a major. She said, you do not have to be in college to take college courses. I could recommend you to take art classes at the community college and you could just sign up for class and go and take that class.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And during the process of that class, the professor said that he think I should check out the fashion design because all of my artwork was coming across from that field.
Okay.
And so from that, mm-hmm. I went to, I think she submitted my name to a couple art school. I start getting calls from all these art institute. They weren't for college. They were small 2-year degrees. school, and I start getting endless of calls from them, and I end up in Pittsburgh because when I visit Pittsburgh, I like all the music and the art, and there were so many colleges in Pittsburgh that you could move from one to the next if you weren't happy. If you weren't happy at Mellon College, you could probably apply to Point Park College. There was so many. There was Pitt right up the street. There was so many colleges, so it was a way to like branch out. So that's kind of how I got started.
So
I had an art teacher that loved what I did.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. So did you announce to family and friends that you wanted to pursue this, or did they just have a sense of it? How did that work?
No, I didn't announce. I remember my sister was getting married, and as young lady, that's like number one thing people put on our agenda to do. And I was fighting to go to college, and she was getting married. So it was a conflict. We have two kids that are doing, and I was a year behind her. So I should have waited for my, it's almost like I should wait for my turn, but my sister was getting married, and I didn't care. I worked all summer long, saved up money. And my mom and I, we packed up, we were supposed to drive, and then we took the train to Pittsburgh. Okay. Okay. And she moved me into college, and she moved me into the dorms, and I was going with her or not. My parents had like the money and anything to do. I was like, I wanted to go. I wanted to start doing the art. I was happy in that space. So we took the train, and I remember when I graduated, my aunt and my mom picked me up, and I could remember my driving home and was like, what's next? And I knew what next, but they were like, what are you gonna do next? And my family was all too happy about the art because they said I should have been a nurse.
So you could
go be a doctor or a nurse. You're going to make money. You know, the island parents.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, you're not going to do the money. You're not going to make good money at art. It's kind of hard. It's like, we don't want a career that's come with the word starving artist in front of it.
No starving.
So it was about going into something that they know was guaranteed financial stability. But I stick with it. I came home, and then I applied to FIT in New York. And when I got there, they asked me, why don't you just go into the field? But I was seriously petrified of New York. I wanted more degrees behind me. I wanted more experience. I wanted to be in the New York fashion world. And go back to FIT. I took 2 degrees at FIT, at Pittsburgh. I did fashion illustration and visual art. So I took fashion illustration as a minor to go to FIT. So subconscious, I had a plan, but my route was to build my confidence, and I used Pittsburgh to do that.
So let me ask you this, Adderley, island girl, what brought you to Lafayette, Colorado?
Oh my gosh, isn't it always a man? My husband. My husband, Stuart Lord, we actually were in Dartmouth University, and I was working in sales. That comes where my sales pitch is good. And my husband applied to Naropa for the president of the university. So he had gotten the job for president of Naropa University. So I follow.
Okay.
And I had a 2-year-old at the time. So I follow him here. And that's how I end up in Lafayette, Colorado. And I was not scared of the area at all. I wasn't scared of moving. Because I'm adaptable to wherever I go. But in a sense that I pride myself on being myself. I try not to fit too well in.
Okay.
I want to always be fully me. And I'm not so sure fully me works for Naropa.
So let me ask you this though, because keeping with that thinking, you know, being a Black creative in a predominantly white environment means what, if anything, to you?
I am working hard at not letting it mean. I'm trying not to give it the power that it normally inhabit in this environment of where you get pushed on the back burner. You don't get the same offer. And I've experienced that with one place here where I've applied several times. They tell me, yes, you're on the, we have a two-way out. Okay, your name is on the list. You come up for January. And when January come up, they move me back. Okay. So, and I've never, and I just got moved back. And then I approach them and say, you know what? I don't think you're ready for me and my art. And I make plans for the year. And when you're on the calendar and you move me back, it disturbed the rest of the plan that I have with my other obligation. It affects my other obligation. So I just say, I'm going to bow out gracefully. I'm going to try and reach for something higher than where I was aiming here. Because this is not an environment for me. So I got where I was not shown. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's where you make the phone call, you call, and the people don't return your call. And then I'm bold enough. I show up.
Okay.
I will show up and I would ask for them and I will sit around in the lobby and I will wait. And then I went as far as to go and have breakfast at the restaurant that they manage. Like they say, okay, this is where he's gonna be. And I went and I had breakfast. I had a brunch one morning and then I asked for him like I was an executive and I said I would like to speak to such and such, and they came down and they said, oh yeah, we have all this stuff, we got your call with it, and this is the date I have for you, I'll put you on the calendar. It never happened. But with that, I said that was not for me. And that's not the environment I want to be in. Yeah. And I don't want to sit in a room where everybody else is so uncomfortable. So I don't know what you even call it. I so don't want me to be there, that it affects my energy.
Got it.
Like I don't want that energy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if you're about that energy, I could move on, but I was moving to something bigger. Then I say, okay, I'm going to put these three things on my thing. I'm going to move higher than where you are. Mm-hmm. So I set my mind on doing other things in Boulder.
So let me ask you this. How long did it take once you arrived? How long did it take for you to begin showing and sharing your art once you arrived in Boulder? I mean, when did that come together? Because I mean, girl, you've been hard. You know, trying to bring those pieces together.
Yeah, the thing is, when I got here, I didn't see where I fit because I didn't see anybody else like me. So I didn't paint. My stuff ended up in the garage.
Well, stop there for a moment. So when you say you didn't see anyone else like you, what do you mean? Say more about that.
I mean, I go to all the art show. I go to the St. Julian Art Museum. I go to all the, and I didn't see the colorful me, the happy me. I see a whole lot of painting that was landscaping. I see realism. I didn't see the loud, vibrant island girl. I didn't see it anywhere.
Okay.
And not only that, when I saw artwork, it was all white. There was no black. There was one and few in between black people. I don't even remember running into another black painter in Boulder.
Okay. Okay.
So it was just like, it's not here. I belong in New York. I belong somewhere else that I've seen people show. And then I will say fast forward. I did sales when I first came because it's a guaranteed job.
Right.
I worked for a company called Maurice when I first got here. And then we moved to Lafayette and then we, end up when COVID came. And I start asking myself, like, what I really want to do, who I really want to be. Am I going to do the job to pay the bills, or am I going to do what I was meant to do? Because I knew from a young age that I was meant, there was one thing that's still on my mind for me to do. I was meant to give young people a kind of confidence and a kind of belief in yourself that I don't see. And it's the one that I said, and I refer to this because I went to, I've done Habitat with Humanity, Habitat with my husband when he goes on his trips. And I remember being in North Carolina, we were in a neighborhood where it was the place, we were cleaning a house that got flooded.
Okay.
I realized that we were picking up photographs and albums of this family that lost everything. It's the, they had a flood and I think the zoo and the sewer and everything just took everything out. Mm-hmm. And we were there to clean the house and help get the skeleton of the house back to rebuild. And I remember that seeing people standing on the corner and they had no homes. And it was like, we find Bible with family stuff in it that was dipped in sewer stuff. We were just cleaning and there were all these memorabilia for this family that lived in this house. And I was like, who are they without all these things? Mm-hmm. Like if I met this person on the corner, like how do we identify ourselves to say who we are?
Right.
And I was like, he have no ID. His family pictures are gone. All his, the things that you accumulated over the years are gone. Now, my question was, who are you? Do you know who you are without all your belonging? Like with the fire too, I'm like, who are you when you stand on a street corner? And I said to myself, I want to be the person that could still stand there and be just as powerful with the house, with the stuff, and without the house, with mm-hmm. the stuff. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be that person. And I wanted to give that to young people to say, your core of who you are, you came with. Society kind of tried to mold it and change it. Now, who are you going to choose to be what the society wants, your mom, your parents, what everybody expected of you, or who you were meant to be? Mm-hmm. Because who you were meant to be, I think it's more of a gift to the world than what everybody expects you to be.
Yeah, that's very powerful though.
Yeah, so my question to myself was, okay, am I going to be the wife, the mother, and the person that just take care of the family unit? I'm going to stand up and claim my core that I was gifted. I had an inheritance that I was not using. Mm-hmm. And I personally know that I have a whole lot of gifts. Like I could braid my daughter here, my friends and family. I organize huge parties. I'm a party planner. I have all these gifts and I go, but where am I at my core, the best and the happiest and the brightest was when I paint. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I go during COVID when everything was getting thing that hits on, it keep hitting on my door. And I start painting in my car when I take my daughter to water polo because uh-huh. I couldn't find how to fit it in. And I was petrified of going back to it because I didn't know if I still had it.
Right.
And a friend of mine named Sally from Longmont said to me, you do not have to tell anybody you're painting. Just do it for yourself first. And I go, where am I going to do it that my husband and everybody's not going to do? And she go, just find a place, get a sketchbook, do it for yourself. And I start painting in my car. My car was full of paint. My daughter was getting and said, Mom, what's going on? I said, don't worry about it. I said, oh, because like 10 minutes before she come, I will wipe up and clean up everything and put everything in the trunk.
But I love that image. But I love that how painting in your car.
Yeah, her water polo was like 2 hours. I go, mm-hmm. I got 2 hours that I sit around and wait for her. And she got to the age where she's like, do you have to watch me every time I go swimming? Every time I go to water polo, you understand? And you're always screaming at me, Mom, do you have to? That teenager coming around
yeah.
the corner.
Oh, yeah.
I said, okay, I'll find something to do with my toe. And I start painting in my car. And then people start saying, whose work is that?
Well, Adderley, that's what I wanted to ask you. You know, I'm sure it's been varied, but can you tell us something about how your art has been received?
Oh my gosh, I am absolutely shocked to my core because first of all, I went to Creative Frame in Louisville. They were my first place. I call that my jump off. Janet was just absolutely wonderful for me. And she said, I went in on my birthday, okay, the 25th of September. I went in and we had a meeting and she said, I want to look at your art and stuff like that. And I took it and she said, she's like, oh my goodness. She said, you know what? You have something for everyone. You're not in a corner. She said, I like this, but it fits. I know who that will fit. And then she said, that will fit. And she was like, okay, I like all of this. But she said, okay, I like it. And then she was telling me, this is powerful. I like the softness. I like the brightness. She said, we don't have anything like this. Mm-hmm. She said, I've not seen someone with the vast, all the different techniques.
Right.
Most people, she said, I have not seen it. And she's like, I'm going to give you a shot, but I need to let you know I have a 2-year waiting list. I go, I don't care. You can put me on the 2-year list. Give me a chance to produce. So she put me on the waiting list. Uh-huh. And that was September 25th, October. I think it was the first or the third. I went to her Friday art walk. And her assistant says to her, don't you have something you want to ask Adderley? And she said, oh, yeah, Adderley, would you be ready to do a show next month? And Jan Oldham was standing and she said, yeah, she ready. And then she go, Jan was like, she ready. We know she ready. And I was like, yeah, I'm ready. So she said, you have to have like,
we have to have our hype people. So Jan was your hype person. I love that.
Yeah. Jan was like, yeah, she ready. And I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. And I go, what she said? She said, do you want to do a show, do a feature, be a one of the feature, the full feature every first Friday? Do you want to be a feature next month? Mm-hmm. I go, yeah, I'm ready. And she said, you have to have 12 to 15 pieces. I go, I already have that. When do you want me to bring them? And that's how it started. And Janice gave me this big platform. And from then it just bloomed.
Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous. I love that story though.
Yes, it bloomed.
If you are just tuning in, or if you're not, and you've been with us since the start, my name is Michelle Simpson. I'm the host of Black Talk. And Black Talk is brought to you by KGNU. And KGNU is aired in Boulder, Denver, as well as Fort Collins. And I wanted to mention to all of our listeners, please know that we're going to post some examples of Adderley's work on the KGNU website. So you'll be able to see what we're talking about and get a sense of her just fabulous artistry. And we're also going to post information about upcoming viewings or shows that Adderley is going to be participating in. So wanted to let you know that, because this is radio and sometimes it's hard to get a sense of the fullness of something that's so visual, such as Adderley's paintings. So Adderley, Boulder County is populated, and you know this as well as anyone, populated by many, many creatives. For many, though, it's the reason they actually elected to come and to live in Boulder and or, you know, its surrounding areas. How would you describe the creative community as you found it and as you continue to grow and develop here? How would you describe the creative community in Boulder County? So if somebody were coming in or you were contacted by someone who was saying, well, you know, Adderley, it seems that this environment has supported you in some ways, maybe it hasn't supported you in some other ways, but what do you think about my moving to this area to really pursue my art, to pursue my creativity? How would you describe it?
Well, I will say, first and foremost, be true to yourself. Mm-hmm. Do not try to imitate anyone else out here, because the only thing you could bring to the game that's authentic, it's yourself at full force. Mm-hmm. And that's number one. I bloom now, and I'm living in full gratitude right now, because I realize the moment I start claiming my inheritance and claiming my gifts that I was given and be fully authentic myself, is when people are drawn to you. I don't think of my color, my skin color, which sets up barriers. I do not think of that when I walk into a room. I know it's the first thing people see. I don't think of that. What I do is just be me from the core. Mm-hmm. And if you're authentic, I said people smell it. They welcome it, because so many of us are not our full self. We are who we think people want us to be. Mm-hmm. And I realize that being me at my core is my best gift.
Yeah.
And I put me on canvas, and I was extremely surprised, because I show in Lafayette and Louisville. When I got to Boulder, I showing in Boulder, I thought, when I look at the other artists and everybody that was around me, I was loud, I was dancing, I was just bright out there on canvas. I was like, let me put it this way, I was like Carnival on the 5th of June in the Caribbean island. I came with everything and I was like, okay, there are the people that's just gonna look and pass and have nothing to say. Mm-hmm. I had one guy said, oh, this is a one note thing. And I was like, okay, that's where you are at. But so far I've gotten where people are like, oh my God, I love this stuff. Mm-hmm. I love the energy. And I go, what I find, it was my personal energy that I put into my work, being authentic me, that is glooming. So if you're going to come into this era, know who you are, claim who you are, and come as you are. Mm-hmm. And I think, just as general, I think human being is more open, because so many of us have problem being our full self. Mm-hmm. And when we see other people doing it, we're happy because we want to do that.
Yeah.
I think it's our nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. We inspire to be that mm-hmm. full self. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it's more welcoming.
Let me ask you this. You and I've talked a little bit about this, but I'd like to explore it a little further. You often join forces with other Black creatives in Boulder County, and you show and you share gallery space, you share shows and more. And I wanted to just ask you, what do you gain from those communions?
I look at it this way, from the fact that I went to school in New York, it's like going to the museum and just see D.O. When you go to from a fashion perspective, when you go to the museum and you see D.O. and you see Valentino and you see so many other mm-hmm. artists, there's so many different things for different people. My art won't just sing to everyone.
Okay.
So when I bring in, like, for instance, I bring in Satora, I bring in Helen, that's the photographer, I bring in Colin, those are the people that I've worked with. I find that we together, I call it synergy.
Okay.
Together, we are more powerful than we are by ourselves. But not only that, I'm a sharer and a giver. Mm-hmm. I love people energy. And I think I have a problem about just doing things by myself. Although that I've been taking space to do that. I've done the gallery up in Boulder January by myself. Mm-hmm. And sharing is much better than being by yourself. I just love to share. I love what other artists do being next to you. I think we could feed off of each other's energy so much more than me just taking all the glory.
Hello, 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 hello. Yeah, yeah. She had the thing I love. Love. Where she from? I don't know. Rock she wears and go low. Like a dojo. Say what you say, what you say, what you say. Pretty girl, when you come my way. Now what you do, what you do, what you do. I must get through. Girl, roll up now, you show me that wine. Turn around, girl, don't be shy. Hello, 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 hello.
You are listening to Black Talk on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. To ask you, because I have a sense that perhaps your initial passion, and please correct me if I'm wrong, was that of a clothing designer and becoming a clothing designer? Who were you interested in designing clothing for?
Well, I design haute couture. I study everything at FIT.
Right.
I study swimwear, outerwear, ski wear, but my primary thing was haute couture, and I study haute couture. I love D.O. I just love the high fashionness of it all. I love the brocade of it all. I mean, I just love the old school drip them in jewelry if you can. I just loved all of that. And that was encouraged from when I went to community college. He said, I see all this flair in you. And it's not just in your work. It comes to your body. It comes to everything you wear. When you walk in here, it's like us seeing a fashion show. I was just like, okay. Uh-huh. He's like, I'm the church girl with the biggest hat in church when I go.
Got it. Got it.
So that was part of that. But doing FIT, I realized that how much it influences society. You could see sexuality from the 80s when things start changing for women. You could see it in the clothes.
Yes.
I say, as a designer, we dictate how we see each other and how we allow each other to be as far as our sexuality as women, our women, kind of our rights. It shows up in the clothes. So I've seen how the fashion has influenced our culture. And I wanted to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing people look fabulous. Anytime I come upon anyone, I see your outfit and I'll dress you 10 times fold before I walk away.
Oh, I love that.
And it's just, that was just one of my instinct things. So I will never let a sister walk away from me with her top like tilted or not right or not buttoned up right or anything, mm-hmm. or the hat not straight. I'm one of those persons lean in and say, oh, you got to tilt your hat to the left.
It's been said that art can be an act of bravery. What are your thoughts about that?
I do believe that because I had nothing in my life that I was petrified of, that I was scared of, that I was literally scared of other people's opinion about it. So I did not show it. I will tell you that I'm best friend with Ann Cooper, Jan, and they did not know that I paint to the extent that I did.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
So it takes a really brave person, and you really have to know who you are to put your art, I think, to put your art fully out there. Mm-hmm. Because and then you have to understand that, I think for me, what I've come to understand is that when I paint, I don't paint from a conscious perspective. I paint from an inner core. I let myself go to, I will paint until I find that, you call it a sweet spot. I find that spot where my conscious being, my unconscious being, at the core of who I believe that I am, come forward. Mm-hmm. I leave space for myself to let that part of me come forward and let it out on the canvas. Mm-hmm. And because I allowed that, I'm no longer scared because I recognize her. I call her my inner self. I recognize her to be really beautiful. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord, look at what she just did. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look at what just happened. I've walked away from a painting at night, like early morning, and come back to it and go, wait a minute, is that me? Hello, Jesus. I was like, I know I asked you to come onto me, but did you just inhabit me? And then I come to realize that I am such a vessel for the what he needs me to say, what the universe wants me to speak, mm-hmm. that until I get, it's a beautiful space. So it's a brave thing to then take that and allow the population of the world to inhabit it, right. and to view it and then comment on it and say whether it's good. People have opinion whether it's good, bad, or ugly. My perspective on it is that when I paint that, I am someone that no one can touch. I can't give that to the world. That's my experience right then and there when I'm painting that painting. The only thing that I'm entitled to, that I'm supposed to give you, is what showed up on the canvas. And by putting it out, I put it out with an expectation that you are never going to feel or understood what my whole physical, mental, emotional being went through at that moment. You're going to bring to my painting who you are. Right. And that's one thing that I want people to understand about art. My interpretation of something is not for you to interpret it the same way. It's for you to bring your experience, your emotion, your mental stability, your health, everything that you are to that painting. And I leave room. And that's where I no longer call it bravery. I just call it be myself. I no longer am scared. I don't worry about someone's opinion of the painting because they can't see it the way I see it. And we each each of us don't see it the same way. Like Michelle, you will never view the Monet the same way I do because we all come from so different. Right. We are a root, we are branches on a tree that have different shades, different light, different perspective. We have so much different things that we bring to it that it's almost impossible for you to feel or to interpret the same way. We could say we're date, we're time. So that's where I see art as healing, emotional. For me, it have bring me to my full self. Mm-hmm. Art, I say, is where I got my joy and my pleasure. I didn't think that's the place where I will find my pleasure, where I will find, but it was, it's like they said, everything you need is within you. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that my power is within me. What I need is within me. It comes out to my painting. I sing, I dance to my painting.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel that in your work, because I've seen your work, do you feel there's an expectation that your art represent Black themes? Do you find that when people come to your exhibits or they see your work, is there an expectation, do you feel, built in as a Black creative that your art represent Black themes? Has that come up at all?
I was asked to if I was going to do anything for the Black Lives Matter series. Mm-hmm. And my first response was, it is very dark. It's emotional. It's very, it's a whole can of worm that you asked me to open up. And because I had just opened up myself to so much light and inner joy, where this was so dark for me, and I had just opened up myself with so much light and joy, and I had found this space where it feel like an aphora, like I'm a high. I feel like a high. It feel like, I don't want to say not possessed. It feel like there's a building power in me that I had tapped into. And I was like, do I wanna bring all that heaviness to it? And my first thing was no, and then I find myself asking myself that why not? There's all this killing, mm-hmm. there's all this harm. There was so much hurt. I mean, it was radiating in the last couple of years. It's just radiating. It's almost like you could smell it, you could feel it. And I start thinking about my child. Mm-hmm. And then my empathy arose and I was like, okay, if someone did this, do what they're doing to these gentlemen, to my kid, do you not understand that this mother birthed these kids? No other, I mean, besides the animal, not too many people could say that they house a human being inside of them. We give birth to our kids. So they are a part of us. I mean, your husband could say they donate part of that to the child, but when you understand carrying a person inside of you for 9 months and to know that child was for DNA forever belonged to you, and you took your arms and your hand and you hurt that entity that was gifted to me that I birthed into that world that you cannot do. You don't have the ability to do that as a woman or a mother. I realized that I hold my community something on my canvas. Mm. So I set out to do my Black Lives Matter series, which does not look like what you, I don't know if you say it would look like Black art, but I call it Black art because I am, right. I am that.
That's right.
It can't be anything else because what is Black art? Black art is my art.
Exactly.
Because that I am, but the expectation of the traditional Black art, I did not want to go that route. I wanted to spread another light where it cover a broader spectrum.
Okay.
Where I could cover every mother, every person that ever had a relative, because when you, do you know their name? Do you know their name? Painting, it's a red painting. It could identify with the Indians. It could identify with anyone that have suffered a certain amount of harm. a certain amount of, I would say, pure evil put on top of a set of people. It will cover, it didn't cover just me, it covered us as human beings. Because, and I wanted to do that because I was thinking of my child when I went into that series. And when I did that series too, I did a couple pieces that had to do with, from my perspective, woman power and what our core really are and how we don't know how strong we are and how we could come to strength, how we could come to adversity.
Right.
And I realized that our power are endless when it comes to coming to hardship. I go, you could put us in cold, you could put us in thing. We will rise, you know, because we were born with that kind of gift of light of knowing that we have strength from our ancestor. So I did that, but back to the question of, do I get, people are surprised at my work, like extremely like shocked, but it overrides because it changed the energy color, changed the energy so fast that I think they forgot they come there with an expectation of a Black artist.
What they were going to see, yeah.
That they were going to see, so. I think it goes above what they expected. Like it's so different and it's so much energy and the energy is a good high energy that they forget that they come there with a box of who I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, so if you're not in that compartment, okay.
Yeah.
let me ask you this. Something I noticed in looking at many of your pieces, not all of them, but in many of your pieces is an insertion of a stream of light. There's often a kind of a stream of light that comes and through pieces. And, you know, I wanted to ask you to talk about that if you would.
I have the crescent, I have like a crescent moon and a light in a few of my pieces. And a lot of my pieces are leading towards someone, and I call it it's my hope spot.
Okay.
Now I'm calling it, it's like my hope spot. I go, no matter what is happening with you, I want to leave you with something good. I want to leave you with a good place that there's light around the corner. And the light, I never really planned it. It just kind of happened. And I find myself, it's almost like my aha moment.
Okay.
And my exhale moment in my painting. When I'm painting, and sometimes when I'm finished with the light, it's almost like, it's like a beam that I just let out into the world and it kind of disappeared. It just went right out. And as many people as it could touch will be great. But it's to know that every single one of us was born. Do you know that kid that's just a baby that is just wonderful, no matter what size, color they are? Everybody loves babies. There's a reason for that. They came with light, they came with hope, they came with renewal, they came with new day. And each one of us have that light in us. Every single one of us have that light in us. But society have a way of turning it off, acts of to turn it off, dim it, do whatever. And I just want people to acknowledge, I would love if the majority of our young ladies, I'm not even gonna go to universe, the young ladies, just claim their light back. And you know that song, This Little Light of Mine?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's my song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I want people to let their light shine because you authentically, you're so much brighter with that light than the one that people tell you to be. And we are kind of depriving ourselves of each other glory, like each other authentic energy by telling people how to be. My light said, let it all go. Just be you and go towards it.
Yeah.
And even if you hit a valley, it's there for a purpose.
You know, I believe that so comes through in your work. I mean, your paintings, Adderley, are singular. And by that, I mean your use of color, for example. I mean, that's one of your signatures that screams, this is an Adderley Grant Lord painting. You know, color is part of your overall personal presentation, if you will. Talk to us about color.
Oh my gosh. Okay, color. Color is my friend. It's like my best friend. I get so joyful of a color. I'm like, ah, and you give me color, and then right away my head say music, and I go, okay, I need a reggae song. Give me a Bob Marley song. I say, okay, take me to do some soca. Okay, I was just like, I'm that girl. I want to go to Africa with my color. I was like, I see an orange, and I just want to just start dancing. Yeah, color make me feel like I have wings, I could fly. It takes a person from a sad person to just happy. Everything about color says happy. Yeah. And that's what I want to be. I don't want to plan to be happy. I want to be happy within my moments. And yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to plan it. I'm just going to be it. And with yeah. that, I have surrounded myself with a lot of color. If you see me on a good day, even my pajamas like yellow. You know, if you see me, like when my mom send me, like, should I say this on radio? Underwear and stuff like that. I'm like, mom, please don't send me nothing gray. It got to be red, pink, yellow, turquoise. Give me a royal blue. That's my energy color, my sapphire color, energy color. I'm just like, I get extremely happy beyond the cool. People say, girl, you got to calm down. And I'm like, no, you need to come meet me up here.
That's right.
Because it's
That's
like right. glorious up here. So that, and I have no shame in my game when it comes to being like happy with my color. I will put on, well, as you can tell, I will put on a crown on my head. I'm not waiting for anybody to crown me. I already did that. I will put a crown on my head any given day of the week. And you could ask me where I'm going. I'm going because I'm spending the day with me, so I need to spend my energy the way I want. I got to bring the energy I want, not the energy that I'm expecting people to give me.
To give you. No, so, absolutely. You know, Natalie, you know, your passion for fashion design, is it still alive and well? Is it on hold? Is it suspended? Or are we seeing it in your work? In other words, have you kind of integrated fashion into your work?
Actually, have some sketches that I did as since I started painting, where I was like painting fashion stuff, and I go, my fashion illustration, I call them uptight because they're very specific. Mm-hmm. They're the do's and don'ts of sketching, the shadows and the light. In order to find me where I'm at now, I had to someone let go of my illustration, but not so much the color and the clothes. Okay. I could still design a dress in a heartbeat when somebody walk across the room.
Okay.
I will like put a back on that dress in a minute, but not so much in my illustration now. In my illustration now, I find it, I'm more looser. Mm-hmm. I govern myself by my own rules. And sometimes when I go back to sketch a fashion design sketch, I find myself saying, okay, her arm have to be here. The shadow have, I hear my teachers at school.
Got it.
And I'm trying not to have that interfere with my abstract and my aliveness. Mm-hmm. And almost, it's almost like the New York American girl had gone back to the Caribbean. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel a little bit of that, where I have the education, I studied the illustration, the visual art, I did the magazines, I layout, I could do a layout in a second. I could critique other people worked at. I just critique my husband layout sometimes, and my husband critique my posters and stuff like that. I do all that, but I find more joy in what I'm doing now. So I don't feel starved for it, because I design my own clothes on a daily basis. So I don't see the room for it in Boulder so much. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. And I remember when I was in design, I got told a lot. I had people come to my studio, my sewing studio. I used to design clothes. I used to do wedding, do bridesmaids. I worked for Oscar Little Renter and his knitwear line in New York City. And Why would I pay you for a hokuto dress of like $5,000 when I could go here and buy it for $200? I go, until you experience what it's like to have somebody make something for your body, mm-hmm. you won't understand what I do. So I used to get a lot of that.
Did you?
And yeah, I used to get a lot of that. Like I designed for a wedding and the bridesmaid was like, why does it just have to cost so much? I'm like, it's custom made. You come and do 3, 4, 5 fittings. Everything is specific to you. And I didn't design a broad layout. I didn't design one dress for 5 girls. I will meet the person that I'm designing the dress for. And then I design the dress with that girl attitude, her shape in mind, what she love about her body, what she doesn't. I do a whole consultation with her of like, how she feel about herself and how she would love to feel about herself. And then I take that dress to give her the image that she wants for herself. Mm-hmm. So what I would do for a bridesmaid, I would use the same color palette and I will make 5 to 6 different designs within that one palette. Mm-hmm. So with that, I got a little bit, not jaded about it. I was just like, okay. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if when you all showed up, you really know what I do before you show up. But I thought it'd be nice. And uh-huh. then I used to get the fact that the other part of that where you get a little bit of racism that comes in. I used to get the fact that, oh, so how much do you pay for your studio? And I go, what? Like, because I had a studio in my house in New Hampshire. So I'm like, did they let you rent a room here? And I go, no, this is my house. I had to explain where I was at. I had to explain that this is my space. Like mm-hmm. almost everybody that walk in used to ask the question, oh my God, how did you happen to have a studio here in Occampon? I'm like, what? I live here. This is my studio in my house.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I used to get a, so after a while you'd be like, okay, do I want to deal with this uh-huh. on a day-to-day basis? And but I still have it in me. I don't know if the time will come when I would actually go back and fully do it. But most of my clothes that I personally wear, my handprint is all over them.
All over them. Well, let me ask you as a last question, as we start to wrap up a bit, Adderley, what would you say, kind of coming full circle, what would you say to that Adderley, the island girl, starting her life in St. Vincent? What would you say to her? If you could go back, what would you say to her?
Oh, what would I say to myself? I don't know if I would change her very much because I was always bold. That as Caribbean girls, I don't think I was taught that I could build my own world, that my vision of what I feel, I could express it out loud. I grew up thinking that fashion design and the arts were gonna be a secondary thing in my life, okay. Not a first thing in my life. Mm-hmm. Family was supposed to be first. Mm-hmm. And I have a huge family and like caregiving, that we were supposed to take care of everybody else before we take care of ourselves. We were taught to respect your elderly and stuff like that, and that your grandparents and your mom have a number one saying what you do with your life, and you don't talk back to your mother at any point given point or you might lose your front teeth. But what I would say to her is that specialness that you feel that your family give you, all that love that my mom gave me, I was always told that was special. That I should have my voice, use your voice, because they were listening, although you didn't know they were listening. I think my parents were very much listening to everything I say and do. And I should have speak up more. Just be a bright self, because that's who they love. And that's who they always like put in the center of the room, because I was the little fashion model from day one. Uh-huh. So because of that, I have somewhat of I find it like a power in the family. Mm-hmm. Like if I show up, the whole clan come. Yeah. And I didn't know that I had a voice to like say, okay, auntie, it's not okay for you to, like, you know, tell Edna that she have to go to art, she have to go to nursing school when she wants to go to art school. Mm-hmm. Like, I have an aunt that now see my painting that says to me, "I am so sorry, we did not help you guys. We tell you what you should be. Like, you and Edna, you all are doing it now, but you could have started earlier if we had encouraged you to take that space which you occupy. We wanted you guys to do stuff to make money to pay bills. We didn't realize that the career that was in you, that you should do." So my aunt was like, "I'm so proud that you take your voice mm-hmm. back mm-hmm. And your voice had more power than the voice we were trying to give you." Wow. So that's what I would tell myself, to stand firm in what you believe and stick to the art school, because I sidetracked and did nursing. I sidetracked and did what my mom and my aunties wanted me to do. Like, I was like, okay, after I graduated from FI, okay, I'll go do it. Because mm-hmm. they were like, okay, you're not making any money, you need to do this. So I sidetracked. So for those kids now that know what they want to do, hold on to it, push it. Your parents will meet you where you show up, because if you show up as your full self, you would blossom.
Now that's very powerful. Yeah. Well, Adderley, thank you so much. You know, you use the word joy, and you've brought so much to the KGNU listeners today, to Black Talk, to me. And I am so very appreciative for you agreeing to spend some time, share some stories, wisdom, just your world, your life with us, your work. As I mentioned a bit earlier, we're going to make certain to post on the KGNU website some examples of Adderley's work. And we're also going to post some information regarding shows or upcoming viewings, so you can become acquainted with her fabulous, fabulous artistic gift. And that's the best word for it, is joyful. So yeah, I'd like to thank everyone. And again, Adderley, especially, to thank you for joining us today. And KGNU listeners, you've been listening to Black Talk, aired on KGNU. And KGNU is heard in Denver, Boulder, as well as Fort Collins. And we look forward to having you next time.
Morning is coming.
Morning is coming.
Morning is on its way.
It's on its way.
Morning is coming. It's Revelation Day.
Revelation Day.
Morning is coming. Morning is on its way.
On its way.
Morning is coming. It's Revelation Day.